It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Waters, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Geraldo Rivera, Dana Perino, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. America, consider this your final warning. The robots are taking over.
The war against the machines.
All right, relax. Killer robots haven't taken over yet. But the internet's going crazy over new artificial intelligence called ChatGPT. The program can write really complex essays, books, news articles, and even computer code. And it's really good. We just had to try it for ourselves, asking it to write a poem about this show. The Five on Fox News is quite a sight, with a panel that's always so bright. They entertain and inform with their banter and charm and have viewers tune in day and night.
Well, inform and charm doesn't rhyme, so.
Yeah, lousy rhyming.
Yeah, bright and night is too far from
exactly.
Each other.
Our jobs are safe. Yeah. It's not just text, though. These computer programs are really good at making fake photos. As if Geraldo doesn't have enough pictures of himself.
That's not really a photo.
We ran his selfies through an AI processor, and this is what it came up with. It's pretty good. But mankind better be careful. Experts warn this thing has the potential to take your job. Kids can use these to cheat and have it write papers for them, where it can impersonate your friends to give up your passwords. And the biggest fear is AI becomes so smart, it finds a way to control humanity. Dana Perino, are we making too big of a deal about this, or is this really a threat?
I don't know. I think yes and no. And I live in fear that I'm going to be the first person that airs a deep fake video that we all think is real, that seems like it comes from a real source, and maybe you double check it, maybe
that
you triple check it,
and
you
classic if it happened to you.
It would be right.
Classic.
That's why I live in fear of it. So hopefully that we'll never do that. But I do think that that's coming.
Yeah.
As you can see here, how easy that is to do. Like if you and I can just speak into this chatbot thing and ask them to write a poem, like what else will it be able to do very soon? So that's happening very quickly. I do think that really bad minimum wage laws are a catalyst to people losing their jobs in places like a fast food industry. Because if you push a company too far, they will figure out a way to innovate. And if innovation means not having an actual person there that you have to pay for and take care of, you know, companies will do that. So that's a concern. So I am concerned of this, about that. I also am worried about the blurring of fact and fiction. And I'm not talking about disinformation, but the algorithm will be written by somebody. So if you ask the chatbot, what color is the sky? The sky is blue. Fine. We can all agree on that. But Ben Shapiro did a very interesting experiment today on his show. And the question was, why should abortion be prohibited? Okay. The answer from the chatbot that Ben Shapiro put in was, abortion should not be prohibited. It is a deeply personal and complex issue. So that's not answering the question, why should it be prohibited? That is somebody somewhere putting their thumb on the scale of the algorithm, and that's why I'm a little concerned.
They're even rigging the AI.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about that?
God, they get into everything, Geraldo. So Kamala Harris's speechwriter, thank God they got AI now. Solves that problem.
Yeah. You know, my late great former father-in-law, Kurt Vonnegut, wrote a book back in 1952, Player Piano, in which he created a world where the bots, the AI, ran everything, every aspect of life. It was, you know, very ominous and all pervasive. When I think about it, I don't think about, I mean, I was flattered by the shot that looked like Robert Downey Jr. with a mustache, but Greg got me thinking about another aspect of it. What about the replacement? Cool breeze. What about the replacement of real relationships, though? What about what happens when people start marrying their bots, where they start having real relationships, where you see the kids now with the virtual stuff, and there's the whole world happening, but they're focused on the virtual stuff. What happens when that becomes your sex life, your relationship, your best friend, the person you talk to. I think that it really is going to limit the world in many ways. It's going to shrink the planet. And I, you know, where it ends, who knows?
I was thinking you could just be texting girls and you have the AI do the game. And she has no idea it's a machine spitting game. And hey, maybe better than you are.
Probably.
Probably better than me.
You know what concerns me about this is that you feed the information to the AI, right? It doesn't Google things. It spits out what you give it. So if you're going to feed information about education, is it CRT you're feeding? Is it the woke stuff that you're feeding? Teachers now, they have certain things that they can test if you've plagiarized an essay or something. They can't do it now with this stuff. This creates a tremendous negative. And I don't know, I was reading in one of the articles that it is as significant as electricity and fire in terms of what it can do. You know, we already have robots that are on crime scenes that are, you know, whether it's bombs or whether it's just, you know, supervising and going around with a video camera. But if you give these AI or whatever you want to call these structures the ability to fight cancer and, you know, teach us how to, you know, find a cure for cancer, they can then create something that is incurable. So because human nature is so much involved in the creation of it, so then you have malwares and then you have negative actors and then you have all of the negative stuff that can happen. So it has to be policed. And just like the internet was not policed and still isn't policed in many ways, we're going to see AI not being policed in a way where it's going to hurt people.
And you're right, because the people writing all this code are usually hardcore left-wing Democrats. That's who populates Silicon Valley. Greg, are we speaking to Greg or AI? Your eyes just blew me away.
Permit me to communicate to you for the next 3 hours about this. First of all, the deep fake thing can go both ways. What if films of me in some troubling videos emerge? What is my excuse?
Deep fake.
See? So you can always use the deep fake now. That's the thing. It actually creates freedom for us. But you know what? Do you remember? I think we did this story either on the Five or my show. I can't remember. It was where some research company unleashed an AI into social media. And when they pulled it out, it was a hateful, racist creep. Yeah. It came back. And it was because social media is a cesspool bubbling with human failure and envy and all the vices. AI is, in a sense, better than us. They don't have the human flaws. That's why they'll make better. I hate to say this, Judge. They would make better judges because they don't get hungry before they make a verdict. Oh. But, you know what I mean? They didn't have a fight with their spouse.
You are in so much
anyway,
trouble.
But wait. So what we're seeing right now is an AI that is still controlled by humans. It's just like those, you know, killer San Francisco robots. Those aren't robots, right? Because they are basically, they're drones. Humans are controlling it. So a killer robot is just a gun on legs. That's not autonomous. As long as humans are on the front of this equation, we have no idea what it could do. No idea. Right. But once AI becomes independent and autonomous, it's a whole new ball game. What happens is, we talked about this 4 years ago, the paperclip problem. If you develop artificial intelligence to maximize the production of paperclips, through its own unconscious thinking, it will truly maximize the production of paperclips without stopping, which means it will look around and it will constantly redouble and redouble and redouble and redouble until the world is nothing but a ball of paperclips. That's the problem when AI becomes super intelligent. But there's something else. Here's the good news about, I was thinking about this all last night. AI could be the answer key to life. Our whole existence is about probability. We sit around and try to figure out what's going to happen in the next minute, the next block, the next day. That's all our brain does, is think about probability. AI solves probability. It tells you what's going to happen next. So then what happens to your brain if you have this machine that tells you what's going to happen?
I wouldn't have thought there was a red wave.
You wouldn't have thought there was a red wave. Exactly. Your show would be so much better, Jesse. But you know what the problem is? Our brains would become lifeless because you
atrophy.
Wouldn't get, yeah, it would atrophy because you, because think about how we don't do trivia anymore because we have Siri. Yeah, we have Siri. So we go like,
we can't read a map.
We can't do anything. Yeah. But imagine if you don't need to predict anything anymore. This whole machine, it just shuts down. And that could be a good thing. Maybe we use our brain for something else.
What else is there, Greg?
I don't know.
Well,
I do. You want to hit him back? He said a robot judge is better than you.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you something. I doubt the robot judge has compassion or mercy.
Exactly.
And the other stuff that
we
you
don't
need.
We don't need compassion. We don't need envy. We don't need mercy. We don't need empathy. Empathy's bad.
I think you're a
but
robot.
But why couldn't you program in and, all of those traits?
And they say I'm right wing.
All right. Coming up, dirty tricks from Twitter's deep state. Elon Musk fires a shady FBI lawyer who was trying to interfere in those Hunter Biden files.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Elon Musk pushed for transparency tainted by a top lawyer inside Twitter. The billionaire firing the company's legal counsel, James Baker, for going behind his back and secretly vetting the Twitter files before their release. This intervention slowed the process of getting the information out to the public. The New York Post calls it an inside job, and if you thought Jim Baker was a familiar name, well, he used to work for the FBI as general counsel under James Comey and was a central figure to the Russia investigation. Baker also played a hand in censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story. As the world turns, of course, Republicans are calling on top Twitter executives to testify, and Jim Jordan thinks that what happened helped President Biden to get elected.
Big tech, big government, big media, all colluding to keep valuable information from we the people. And of course, John, we know the consequences of all this are that Joe Biden was president, became president, and we have 41-year high inflation, a border that's no longer a border, rampant crime, and all the other problems we see with this administration, not least of which is the FBI has been weaponized against we the people and is no longer treating Americans equally under the law.
And the White House still staying tight-lipped about the revelations.
Did anyone from the Biden team communicate to Twitter that this material was from hack, or this reporting stemmed from hacked materials?
I can't speak to decisions made by the campaign from here. That is not, it is a political campaign. But what I can say more broadly is, of course, it's up to these companies to make their own decision about the content on their platforms and to ensure content follows their own standards and policies.
I was a little surprised, Jesse, to find out that James Baker actually still worked for Twitter, given that Elon Musk cleaned a lot of the house before he even got started.
Yeah, you don't like to clean house with the lawyers first because they know a lot. But he stuck his neck out there and then he got exited. I love that term. He got exited. He's a fixer. He doesn't have legal chops. He was a bagman for Crooked at the FBI. Then he went to the other side to run interference for the Biden campaign at Twitter. And you don't have to be a good lawyer to succeed in this country. You just have to be able to do political favors for people. That's how you ascend now. You do political favors as a lawyer. And lawyers are destroying this country. Everywhere you look, Baker
the judge
signs off on this stupid warrant on the Trump campaign. Who is his deputy? Kleinfeld fabricated the documents to get the lawyer. Avenatti.
They're lawyers because they're doing legal business. Why don't you talk about other areas?
They're doing political business. They're not doing legal business. Another one, Avenatti. Remember him?
He's a
great guy. Also, who was it? Mark Elias? He loosened all of the election laws that allowed for all of these paper to blast out there.
Watch your hand. Watch
your hand, Geraldo. Sussman. Again, Adam Schiff. Everywhere you turn, the country's trying to move, and there's a stupid Democrat lawyer cutting your knees out from under you.
Hunter's a lawyer.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Satan went to law school. Also, that's why you can't get anything done in this country. Anytime you try to build something, frivolous lawsuit. They're actually suing TGI Fridays because there's cheddar in the mozzarella sticks. That's why everybody hates these people. I have a proposal. How about all the lawyers in America take a vacation next year?
Okay.
1 year, all the lawyers stopped their practice. I guarantee you this country would be like paradise. But if you ever notice something, who makes money in conflict? Three industries: arms dealers, the media, and lawyers. They're cleaning up because they bill by the hour. You bill, and we all pay. Because the more conflict there is, the more money you shell out. And all our lawyers lose. Our lawyers get their homes raided, their offices raided, their iPhones seized.
Oh, my God.
Constantly, you're on the back end of it.
What did you put in your water today?
Not enough, Geraldo. I swear to God. And I think the Biden family's being blackmailed by the FBI, because when the FBI teams up with the lawyers, hell on earth.
Can I bring
now
it back to Earth?
That was the best Jesse Waters impersonation I have ever heard by you, Jesse.
I've had it.
Aside from first we killed the lawyers, the thing that bothers me, Jim Jordan, what he said, that's what bothers me about this whole Twitter story. The implication is that because Twitter didn't go all out to back the New York Post, therefore the election was somehow flawed. Therefore the election was flawed. So President Trump is justified in saying that the election was, not legitimate. We can take whatever means necessary, suspend the Constitution. It is absolutely absurd to think that because one media outlet, Twitter, didn't back the New York Post, therefore the election is flawed. I mean, it's an assumption built on an assumption built on an assumption.
Everybody followed them,
and
though.
Facebook, and everybody did. And they stopped conversations. Nobody's saying that one
that
thing.
Do you believe that imperiled the election?
I don't know. I don't know if it imperiled the election, because I'm not a statistician.
There was
and
one survey that said that.
Yeah, that 10% of it, it would have changed the election. There's no question. There are studies out there. Here's the bottom line. Forget about all this garbage with lawyers, okay? You know, if there weren't any lawyers, first of all, every criminal that's in jail would be out of jail right now. I don't think that would make you very happy. And chances are, if there weren't any lawyers, and if you got hurt and you were fighting your neighbor, you wouldn't be able to sue your neighbor, all that stuff. You wouldn't be able to
that
close.
Wouldn't be a frivolous lawsuit.
You wouldn't be.
That would be a righteous lawsuit.
All lawyers. Look, I want to talk about this. This guy, James Baker, is as deep state as you can get. He was involved in the Russia collusion delusion. Okay. He's involved in Twitter. You know why they found out about him? Because Miranda Devine, to her credit, said, where are the emails that show that the FBI was communicating with Twitter? But for Miranda Devine, and good for you, Miranda, they would not have found the emails where this guy, James Baker, is a professional at making sure that the government influences politics and influences policy in the United States. And it amazes me that someone who is a lawyer is so antithetical. Everything he thinks is opposite the First Amendment and free speech. I'm talking about James Baker. Baker, the lawyer for the FBI, the lawyer at Twitter. I mean, who thinks in those terms?
To me, he was just trying to cover his ass, it seems to
he
me.
He wasn't covering
his
ass.
That's why he wasn't releasing
the tweets. You know, really? There's a justification?
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do.
I don't care what his reason was. The guy's a crook. He should have been prosecuted for the Russian delusion. And I agree with Jesse. He was fired.
Right.
And you know what? He should have been prosecuted.
You finished?
I'm finishing.
Okay. Let's turn it over to you.
Well, so I will go and talk briefly about the media, and because I enjoy watching on Twitter how the reporters going after the reporters for reporting the news as if this isn't news. And so what they're doing is they're acting like the media is on strike. And when you do this story, you're a scab. Yeah. So Matt Taibbi is a scab. And I was thinking, like, that's actually true for a lot of things. Like, I was thinking about this, like, the media goes on strike regarding specific stories that we cover, that the stories that they don't like. The laptop story, if you look at the border, if you look at crime, if you do those stories, if you follow up on, like, I don't know, gender affirmation surgeries, if you do that, the media is going to go after you and basically treat you like a scab. I feel that. I mean, when you do these correspondence dinners, you get that vibe, even though we crush them in the ratings. Yep. Everybody there thinks that you've, like, cross the picket line because you're doing stories that make the mainstream media uncomfortable.
Right.
So if that's a scab, then pick us.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Up next, you won't believe what schools are now doing to fight back against America's staggering fentanyl crisis. We'll be right back.
Pick it or
what's your name? What's your sign? What's your birthday? What's your wrist tattoo? Bible verse? Tell me this, do you
kiss on the first day. Don't hold anything, no.
Marcia has sleep apnea, and her...
America's fentanyl crisis continues to decimate our nation's youngest people. Schools have no choice but to stockpile Narcan, the life-saving medication used to reverse deadly opioid overdoses. The shocking reason why? More than 75% of adolescent overdose deaths last year were from fentanyl poisoning. But our country's youth drug problem doesn't stop there. Marijuana use among children has soared 250% over the last 20 years, surpassing alcohol as a drug of choice for those under the age of 18. Okay, why do you think, Geraldo, that they went from alcohol to marijuana? And we're talking about young kids now with the THC something like 250 times stronger than it was.
I understand how controversial this will sound, but I believe that alcohol is more dangerous to youngsters particularly than marijuana is. And I think
why?
That because
no one's died from pot.
Exactly. And when you see the ravages of a real drunken alcoholic, it is so sad and so pathetic. And there is a physiological destruction that happens. You know, I from the 1970s, 1974 on, I was a member of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And so this is going back now almost 50 years. I thought it would, what's happening now would have happened long ago. I'm not advocating marijuana. I think it should be legal. I think that adults have to make informed decisions about it. Kids will be kids. When you see what drunken driving does as opposed to stoner kids, I submit it is the lesser of two evils.
Do you agree with that, Jesse?
No. Let's go through the pros and cons of smoking marijuana. The pros: food tastes tastier, music sounds better, and nature is more impressive. Cons: it kills your sperm. Girls don't dig it. The scene isn't as cool as people think it is. If you're an athlete, it affects your conditioning. It stays in your system, and it kills your brain. It affects your memory. And from what I've heard, and I've never really experimented with that stuff much at all.
Oh, please.
But from what I've heard, it's really not that good for you.
Why do you say girls don't dig it?
Girls don't like the scene.
And
they don't like
alcohol?
The scene.
What
girls like the alcohol scene. They do not like
are
guys.
Are you kidding?
That are
they
that.
Don't like alcohol?
No. They like alcohol. They like parties with alcohol. They don't like the scene with the guys smoking. It's not a cool scene for
okay.
them.
Okay. All right, Dana, let's talk
and
about
and nothing
the
that I just said was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it doesn't matter.
Why? Let him go. I have a bigger picture.
No, it doesn't matter what you think or feel about the drug, because that's just your opinion. Some of it could be right. Some of it's wrong. I would maintain that most of it is wrong. but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Alcohol has been illegal for people under 18 forever. And pot just surpassed it. So we know that making something illegal doesn't really matter. The great thing about the five, though, is we offer practical advice.
Which
we
is?
Don't just condemn things. We don't say this should be banned and this should be legal, because that's not us. Leave that for other shows. I want to talk about fentanyl. What is the solution for that? Uh-huh. Right. And the solution is we make it acceptable and reasonable to discuss taking out the cartels with military, yep. Turn the fake war into an actual war. We've invaded countries for less. Grenada did nothing like what these cartels are doing to us. We're losing 100,000 people a year to this, and they aren't junkies. They are kids who aren't buying fentanyl, but they're
right.
buying something that has fentanyl in it. That goes to the next point. That's the demand piece. Here's the supply piece. The desire for recreational oblivion using substances is universal and unstoppable. Laws will not change that. They never have. Alcohol just got there first, Jesse. That's the only reason why you like alcohol more than pot, because alcohol you're comfortable with because it got there first. But remember, there was prohibition. And as long as we restrict safe, prescribed, over-the-counter relievers, because we do have a right to relief, there will be a black market for those drugs that will be fraught with risk, and you will have a Russian roulette on the street, and your kids who aren't buying fentanyl, they might be buying other things. You're putting them at risk.
Okay. 75%
well, can I just say one thing? Greg gave me a great idea. If you want to frame the cartels What you do is you plant the seeds that they're in bed with the Russians. That's how you get the U.S. military to go after the cartels.
75% of adolescent overdoses in 2021 are, they involve fentanyl. I suspect it's even more than that. I'm not sure they do autopsies on all of them. But it comes from China through Joe Biden's open border. And he said yesterday that he's got more important things to do than deal with it.
So I was waiting because I had like I thought I had this bigger picture point. But then you made my great point about China and you made great, my great point about the cartels. I would put those two together.
Your point landed.
You know that I agree
my
with
my point was
I
the
like
best
your
point.
List.
And that's not just
ahead,
my opinion.
I like
go
your
ahead.
List and I agree that girls are not into that scene.
Thank you.
Okay,
no, but that's
that.
An opinion.
Okay, fine.
You're hanging around with the wrong girls.
Dana, you know facts. Talk to us.
Even if it's true, so what?
I think the other thing that we should talk about, which is something here, which is Narcan. We do have one practical solution, which should be at schools. It should probably be in homes. And it should be available to people so that they can help protect their loved ones if they need it. There's some really, we're like sleepwalking through a lot of problems in the world right now. And one of them is the fact that you have one in five youths having suicidal thoughts. And we think about the lockdowns. There's a direct correlation between, you could see it. It goes, their mental health went down. They're not showing up to school. We have professors saying the students just aren't showing up. If you didn't go to college, you're not showing up to your job. The overdoses are up, lifespans are down, and church attendance is down. Yep. Crime is up. There's a lot of things that could be solved by, one, going after China to get rid of the cartels, having the ability to get fentanyl into our systems.
You just reminded me of another great point that I've yet to say. If you're going to have Narcan at schools, why don't you have guns? Because if Narcan can save a life, a well-trained person with a gun could also save.
What about fentanyl testing?
One of the things that they've done is 27 states have passed laws allowing for Narcan in the schools between kindergarten and 12th grade. They actually need to pass a law to get that Narcan in those schools.
But you're for it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I provided it to cops when I was a DA, and that was a long time ago. Up next, a huge warning from Walmart on how brazen shoplifting could start impacting your bottom line. Of course I'm fooled.
Don't believe anyone who says shoplifting is a victimless crime. Walmart CEO issuing a stark warning. If retail organized theft continues to get worse, things are really going downhill, too.
Theft is an issue. It's higher than what it's historically been. And we've got safety measures, security measures that we put in place by store location. I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation. And that's normally how we approach it.
But there have been rules that have been changed that make it not something that the police are going to prosecute or that the criminals won't be prosecuted below certain levels. Does that matter?
If that's not corrected over time, prices will be higher and or stores will close.
Prices higher or stores will close. Shoplifting now a $100 billion problem. It will obviously get worse if people can just walk out of stores with their arms full of stuff they didn't pay for. But, Judge, I think that this is dramatic to see the video of these brazen thieves and the smash and grabs and so forth. But what is not talked about, I think, is a far more serious problem, or at least in scope. It is that organized retail theft is a function of the Internet. By that, I mean the people doing it or the people that control the people doing it. They're going to Facebook. They're going to eBay. They're going to Craigslist and the others, and they're reselling. You could, it's right out there. Where are they getting all these products to sell new? And we're ignoring it. Why?
Well, you bring out an excellent point, and that means that we have to have the ability to monitor those Internet communications that suggest that, you know, we have a real Louis Vuitton or we have a real this, that, or the other thing. Okay? But let's kind of get it right at the meat of this. At the meat of it, we are living in a country that does not have the gumption, the balls, the backbone, the spine to fight it. We're just sitting here saying, oh, my gosh, it's so terrible. That's our problem. That's on us. OK, this is easy. You fund the police again so you don't have to worry about staffing the police. Cops don't show up or they're told to stand down. People are released on cashless bail. Nobody's being prosecuted for this darn social justice that means I don't know what. And so it's our fault. And we got to stop saying, isn't this awful? Isn't it? And do something about it. This is not rocket science. We know how to handle it. There's got to be consequences. Arrest them. Put them in jail.
But when retailers refuse to prosecute or turn a blind eye, aren't they part of the problem?
No, they prosecute.
They can refer it, but it often doesn't get prosecuted. I can't say it any better than Judge Jeanine has said. We had a guy last night on primetime. He came out, protected the gas station, strapped. Tacked up, AR-15, former Philly PD, and he had a few dudes, there he is, few dudes deputized by Pennsylvania State Police so he can make arrests. And he has his crew outside this gas station, and people have come up to him and say, thank you for being here.
Yep.
This gas station, they're doing great business, and good for him because they can afford to hire a guy like that. A Walmart can hire security, but a lot of these mom-and-pop shops that are getting rocked can't hire.
But, Dana, is that image, and you could show it again of the guy toting the gun, is this our future, and are you okay with it?
If we don't get those things that Jeanine said that we needed to get, then it could be because there's a breach of the social contract. So why did he have to do it at the gas station? It wasn't just the inside of the store that was being robbed. Customers were being robbed when they were pumping their gas. And so they're losing business. People do have to get gas so that they can go to work. And so if the people aren't protected, they will find a way to protect either themselves or they'll be thankful for a business owner that will do that as well. The thing about what the companies have done is pretty impressive. Like Walmart says, if it doesn't get fixed over time, then prices are going to rise. They've been able to keep prices down even in the middle of all of this inflation. They kept the Thanksgiving dinner the same price this year as it was the year before, not because they were going to make extra money, but because they knew that their customers needed them to do that. So they've been taking a bath on a lot of this. CVS, the same. Walgreens, the same. But the other thing that's happening, especially with CVS and Walgreens right here and like the Duane Reade over on 8th Street, it closes. And so now what do you have? No other businesses are showing up there. You have homeless people sleeping around it. And the people who live in New York that don't have a car, that's where they walk to get their medicine. So where is that older lady getting her medicine? She's not on the Uber asking Uber to deliver her medicine. She doesn't know how. Sure. So this is a lot of problems, and it could be solved by prosecuting people for stealing anything.
In that regard, the prosecuting the people responsible, how hard would it be, you are the expert on the algorithms and so forth, for, you know, if you see brand new Louis Vuitton bags for sale on the internet, to trace it?
It is. I mean, there's something that people aren't talking about this. We know who's doing this. These are revenues. This is a new revenue stream for gangs, right? This is organized retail theft from gangs. In my neighborhood, I would be conservative and say there were 20 large scale smash and grabs in my neighborhood. There's probably more. They were all black and brown gangs. And I'm wondering, and I think to myself, in this era where we have been poisoned by the narrative of social justice and redistribution, that stealing is now just a necessary way to spread the wealth. And we've lost our authority to fight crime. So I'm trying to answer, like, why aren't we doing, like, we have all the answers. And we've been doing this segment for a long time. Yeah. And yet we can't seem to fight these progressive policies that make us feel guilty when we say, these gangs, these are young kids. They are like, and they are organized and they know what they're doing, but you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. It's like, who do you think is doing it? It's the same gangs that are shooting people.
And it's so crazy that an Apple store is telling their staff to tell customers not to try to stop the criminals. Staff is being told, don't stop them. Customers don't. We're told to let them do it.
The Fastest is up next.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when sky.
If you already know that a blend.
Welcome back. Time for The Fastest. First up, the liberal New York Times. I like how we put liberal there. Ranking of the best movies of 2022, and somehow they forgot, well, the most romantic movie of the year, Top Gun, Maverick, getting snubbed by The Gray Lady, even though it grossed $1 billion at the box office, and it saved movie theaters and made grown men like Jesse cry their eyes out. I looked at this list, Dana, and I realized this is a list designed by an editor to make her appear smart to her fellow, and also
Brooklyn.
and to make the readers of the New York Times feel stupid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it worked.
Yes.
I think that she lives in Brooklyn, and this is one of their clubs that they go to. I also think that this proves that TV series that we all enjoy are much better than current movies.
Yeah. Although, I told you I saw a movie last night, best movie of the year, Triangle of Sadness. It has a dinner
scene. Sounds like a real pick-me-upper.
Oh, it's amazing. They have this dinner scene on a yacht, which is mind-blowing. Triangle of Sadness. Jesse, do you even watch movies?
I don't.
No.
But, Greg, this reminds me of your taste in music.
Mm-hmm.
I like popular music. You know, like you'd say Top Gun grossing $1 billion type of music.
Yeah.
But you like music that's terrible that no one's ever heard of because it's terrible. That's why people have
that song, Jesus and the Mary Chain, that song, that band is terrible.
And then you make us feel stupid.
No,
he doesn't make me feel stupid. He just makes me feel like I have good taste in music.
Geraldo,
I wonder that people are even going to the movies. Have they broken out of that? The coma of the COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top Gun's the only one I saw. Oh, I did see The Fablemans, the Steven Spielberg.
How was that? Well,
it's very Jewish. I went with my mother-in-law and my wife, and, you know, kind of dragged me along. I had a drink at the bar next door to the theater before I went in. But it was nice. It was like an hour too long. But, I mean, it's really good. He is so talented. He's one of the nicest people in the country.
I didn't see any of the movies on the list. I have no intention of seeing any of the movies on the New York Times list. They don't sound interesting. And here's the thing. As for Top Gun, there's no way they were going to put Top Gun on that list. Forget about grossing $1 billion. It's all American. It's about America. It's about competition. It's about merit. It's about good-looking guys.
Mm.
Good-looking guys.
Good-looking women-loving guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. One more thing.
You got that loving feel?
Up next. Can a button work wonders in the bedroom?
It's time now for one more thing, Dana.
Okay, check this out. There's a student athlete received a scholarship as part of a Secret Santa gift. Check this out. She's a student at Baylor University, and she got the gift that she'll remember for the rest of her life during this white elephant gift exchange. They rigged it so that she would get the gift herself. Her name is Lauren Briseño. She's a sophomore, and she received a full ride athletic scholarship.
Wow.
Praise for her growth, determination, and leadership skills. A really big deal for her and for her family, and I'm sure she'll do great things in her life.
Sure she will. Judge.
On October 12th, a state trooper was killed responding to a domestic violence call, leaving behind his pregnant wife, Laura, and their two children. 2 days later, Tunnel to Towers chairman and CEO Frank Siller joined the five, announcing that a foundation would be taking over the mortgage that was held on the family's home. Because of the generosity of our viewers, Tunnel to Towers was able to pay off the mortgage entirely in less than 2 months. Yesterday, Frank traveled to Connecticut to present the Del Monte family with their mortgage payoff in person. Thank you, Tunnel to Towers, for everything that you've done this year to help families in need. And thank you so much to the five Fox viewers for your kindness in supporting this family in their time of trauma.
Lovely story.
Great organization. Mr. G.
All right, tonight a great show. Dana Perino, Guy Benson, Kat Tim, Tyrus, the All-Stars. Let's do this. Greg's joy and magic of New York City. You know, people don't understand. They say a lot of bad things about New York, but it's actually really beautiful. You can exercise, and at the same time while you're exercising, enjoy the natural, organic wildlife you'll find in Manhattan. Take, for instance, this wonderful afternoon. During a marathon, a woman came out just to see what was in store.
Oh,
it's... Yes. And you know what? That rat finished in the top 100 with a time of 2 hours and 37 minutes. But there you go. Oh, yeah. I love New York.
A high-end condo.
Oh, my God. How terrible is that?
All right. Shaq took a big spill the other day on TNT. He was playing a little game with Kenny. Check this out. You know, they do the race to touch the board and boom, into the Christmas tree. Now, I don't really know if that was an act or if Kenny really has what it takes to knock Shaq down, but we're going to investigate. But in other news, we have another investigation. Lesbian feminists versus transgender activists tonight. We have the videotape, and it was a brawl. 7 o'clock.
Wow.
Geraldo.
They literally went at it.
So to speak.
You know, I haven't done a high seas story in at least a couple of weeks.
Oh,
so I was on the boat in Florida. I just want to say that we had the trifecta of high seas this year. We had the Long Island Sound, the Rhode Island Sound, the Great Lakes, and then now in Sarasota, Florida. Wonderful. Brought the boat down with my brother, my hangout mate and producer. There's my sister, Sharon. We're going to all go down and join them. The only problem is there's a red tide in Sarasota. It's really sad.
Florida.
It's really bad.
Is that a Hinckley Geraldo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, you want to ride?
Yeah, I do.
This is Jimmy Fallon inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.